Welcome to the Midday for a Wednesday. I'm Norman Gilliland, quiz question in hand, and we have live music as promised in our Buck studio again today. The UW Student Opera is putting on a performance of the Impresario, or Der Schauspieldirektor, which is even more fun to say. There's something called a Singspiel, which is a little different from an opera. And we have quite the ensemble. We have a string quartet plus piano plus the singers, of which there are four. And we also have the director, Miko Utevsky, and then also the stage director with us, too. So welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Midday.
Thank you for having us.
And so this performance, Impresario, is only, let's say it's about as short as you can get for an opera or a Singspiel. It's like about 25 minutes. So you have some other things on the program, too. And when is this program and where is this program?
The performance is this Sunday evening, 7:30 p.m. in Mills Hall in the UW Humanities Building.
So what else is going to be on the program? What are you going to do to flesh this thing out?
Well, the show opens with the orchestra alone, and yes, there is an orchestra involved on Sunday, playing Mozart's 35th symphony, nicknamed the Hofner, which he distilled out of a serenade he composed a few years earlier.
That's right. Well, he was never above, what shall we say, taking a utilitarian approach to things he had written. That's what it was all about, really. It was music for particular people and particular occasions. And so for a Singspiel, let me ask the stage director here, Elena Spencer, who's also with us, what you actually would do to bring this thing to life.
Sure. So a Singspiel differs from an opera in that there's also spoken dialogue. Most operas are only sung, and these Singspiels have some dialogue in them. This Singspiel was written in German. We have used an updated English dialogue, which we hope will help the whole piece come alive more for the audience and be more relevant to today's world. To bring it to life, since it's more than just singing, we had to work on dialogue, which is something that's different for a lot of singers, but it's something that, as singers, we should all be able to do,
even if we don't sing, necessarily you should be able
get
to talk,
the chance.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm a singer, too, which is why I'm having trouble talking now.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, it's tempting to think that the thing is short and relatively simple that it's an early work, but it's actually from 1786, which was a prime year. I mean, Mozart wrote three concertos that year and one of his major operas, too.
Yep, yep. It was actually written almost simultaneously with Nozze di Figaro. Yeah, and it's definitely a more mature piece, not early.
And it's also, though, speaking of dialogue and some of the singing, too, it's actually a satire of singers.
It is. The piece was written to portray the vanity of singers. It involves two catfighting sopranos, a very put-upon tenor, and a baritone who pops up in the end and surprises everyone by actually being the smart one in the group.
Okay, I think there's going to be some dialogue after the show regarding that, too. But, yeah, it was a lot of infighting, of course, in Mozart's day, and I'm sure things have changed a lot since then. Well, we're going to start with a trio, so from Impresario, and what's happening in this?
Actually, what we've got up first is an aria. We had a little personnel change this morning.
Okay. Well, that happened in Mozart's day, too.
We have one of the two sopranos. Each comes in to audition for a new company that's being formed. And each of them, being singers looking for a job, has an audition aria prepared. And this is the more famous of the two. It's called Bester Jüngling.
And our singers are?
Our singer for this is soprano Nicole Heinen.
Nine.
Mr. Jüngling, and nothing too satirical in the sound of that anyway. It sounded like really classic frontline Mozart to me.
It is, and you know, one of the things that makes this piece intriguing is that not only are the characters competing, but Mozart himself was when he wrote it. So he wrote some top-notch music for this piece because the occasion of its composition was a competition organized by Emperor Joseph II between German Singspiel and Italian opera. And Mozart was engaged to represent the German side and the court composer Antonio Salieri, whom we know from Amadeus. Mm-hmm. He wasn't nearly that villainous.
No.
But he was engaged to compose the Italian example, a piece called Prima la musica, poi la parola. First the music, then the words.
Oh, yes, right, which is not so well remembered today.
Whichever one won in its day, certainly the Mozart has survived of the two.
So what else do you have?
Up next, we have a little duet from another Mozart opera that will fill out the program on Sunday, from his opera Così fan tutte, and this will be with two singers and piano. The pianist is the conductor for this piece, Dennis Gotkowski, and our rehearsal pianist and vocal coach for the company. The singers, Megan Hilker and Gavin Wade, they're singing the duet Il Core Vi Dono, which is a seduction scene.
Well, here we go.
Il core vi dono, belli dono mio, ma il vostro anch'io, vi datelo a me.
Oh,
What might be called the art of seduction, an aria from Cose fan tutte by Mozart. And of course, the opera is all about proving women unfaithful. There's a story about the singer, one of the singers for whom Mozart wrote the arias in Cose fan tutte. I haven't been able to track it down for sure in his letters, but it's too good not to repeat. The story has it that there was a singer, De Ponte's mistress, for whom Mozart did not particularly care, and she had this habit of throwing her head back when she sang the high notes and dropping her chin when she sang the low notes. So he deliberately wrote an opera that alternated very quickly between the two that would make her bob her head kind of like a chicken, you know, in the performance of this thing. As I say, I haven't been able to track it down definitively in his letters. Found one or two passing remarks by Mozart unflattering regarding her. But anyway, if you ever perform the whole opera, watch out. So what else do you have? We should repeat first that this performance of Impresario and other Mozartiana is taking place when and where?
So our concert, An Evening of Mozart, will be taking place at 7:30 this Sunday, January 24th, at Mills Concert Hall in the Humanities Building.
This Sunday, the 24th. And it is going to be an all Mozart program?
Yeah, it's all Mozart. Besides the scene from Così, we're also doing the symphony, and then we're featuring the Der Schauspiel Director as our highlighted piece.
Good, solid Mozart, all of it. And so do you have a finale?
Yes, we will be presenting the finale from Der Schauspiel Director. Usually this piece will include everybody in our cast. Unfortunately, our second soprano, Anna Pollum, was unable to join us this morning. So we will have the three singers you've already heard, Nicole Heinen, Gavin Wade, and Megan Hilker. They will be joined by tenor Jibao Zheng. And we will be sort of cutting around this finale. But if you come on Sunday,
sure,
You'll hear the whole thing.
Sure. Well, again, in the grand tradition, and what's happening in this finale?
Well, in the opera so far, we've had an impresario putting together a company and various singers come to audition. And, of course, there being two sopranos in one room, both want top billing and both want the highest salary. And in the trio that precedes this, they show off flashily for each other and for the impresario, demonstrating their various talents and demanding top billing. They are, in the end, convinced to set aside their differences and accept equal billing for the glory of the art and for the love of what they do, admitting that the loving applause of an audience is all they really need. In this quartet, however, it's apparent that they can't quite set aside all of their differences because each sings a solo verse. You'll hear one of them today. repeating the moral of the opera, but doing so with lots of flashy coloratura.
Clever stuff. Stuff. I'm sure you're going to have a great time with us. And should I ask either you, Alana Spencer, the stage director, or you, Miko Utevsky, the ringleader of the whole thing, although the conductor is over at the piano, too, and I should mention that, too. And his name again is?
Dennis Gotkowski.
Okay.
And we have split conducting responsibilities for the show. I'm music director for the company, and I'm conducting the Hofner and the Impresario, and Dennis is conducting the scene from Così, for which he is a music director.
So what do you, you know, this is Mozart, and this has been performed for 200 and how many years now? 240 years, something like that. How do you rise to the challenge of making it fresh?
Well, that's one of the joyful things about student productions, is that while for the professional world, people who have been playing this music for 30 years are sick of it, those of us who haven't still find it delightfully exciting because we're discovering something new every few measures. I was sitting and working on my score for the Hofner a couple days ago, and every 5 minutes, I would get up and exclaim to an empty room. So,
it's
really delightful.
Sounds like a great experience. Alana, what about you?
I think one of the best things about performing Mozart is that it remains poignant throughout time. Even though these singers are big, or in the Singspiel, these singers are sort of impersonations of themselves. There's something very real and very grounded to each character, which comes through in both the music and the story, I think. There's something that's just very relevant to singers today, dealing with employment issues, with money issues, dealing with...
Competition.
It's all things that we still deal with. The Cosi is a little bit more hard to relate to for me personally. But, you know, love and seduction knows no time period. So
that's right. It's always going to...
It'll always be there.
...interest your audience.
This
maybe
is true.
Even the performers.
Hopefully.
Well, I think you're going to have a great time performing these excerpts on the complete Singspiel. And so anybody who would like to know how one of those things works... Those kind of operatic high risk, almost like the forerunner of a musical.
Certainly.
Very much so, actually. I mean, Singspiel was a popular form in its day. Opera was aristocratic. You know, it was the business of nobles. And they were the ones who had opera houses. But Singspiel was a popular form. It was for the middle and lower classes also, which is why it was sung and spoken in the vernacular German rather than in Italian, which the common people could not understand.
And about... themes they could understand too. Of course, as Mozart says in Amadeus, I'm not writing about marble gods, you know, I'm writing about real people. Well, thanks for sharing some of the music and some of your insights into it. Sounds like it will be a fresh performance indeed.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's delightful to be here.